Good morning, everybody. If you could turn with me to Romans chapter 12. We're going to read just from verse 1 to 2. So Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm just going to read it one more time. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's pray. Yes, Father, Lord. We thank you for this day and that we can gather to with each other, but as well as to gather with each other to seek you and meet with you, Lord. We pray that this morning that we could have open hearts and clear minds just to receive whatever you have in store for us, Lord. We just confess that we need you, Lord, and we also desire you, Lord. And we just offer this time to you. We thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this two verses, Paul's talking about surrender, sacrifice. And he's asking that of us, and also ends with saying the why, right? And basically, why should we surrender? Why should we sacrifice and give up things of this world? Or why should we just sacrifice? And the answer is, it's good for you. I mean, at the end of verse 2, It says, so that you may prove that the will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So the first reason for why we should is it's good for you. I mean, you look at our lives or anybody's life, right? And you just look at all the, I guess you could say, pressure points of life. So I'm not going to go too far back, because as far as I can remember, but even we all always face some sort of pressure or stress in our life, even as kids, right? So I'm just thinking primary school. I feel like the stress, or primary to high school, let's say, it's to be cool, right? And we're trying to be cool, and that's probably what consumes us the most, for me anyway. And the stress comes from trying to be someone that you're not. Right, so, because really, you have really, if you're just yourself, you have no control over who likes you and who doesn't like you, who accepts you and who doesn't accept you. And then, you know, your high school graduation, trying to get into college. From college, you're trying to get a good GPA to graduate with honors, so then you can get a good job. It's like every moment of school is, they always say, oh, this will define the rest of your life, right? Like, what college you get in, define the rest of your life. What first job you get, define the rest of your life. And then finally, you know, then of course we want to get married, and the stress is like, oh, finding someone to get married, spend the rest of our life with. And after that, you get married, it's the stress of having a baby, right? Having a baby. And then the next stress is having a second baby. And then once you have a baby, it's like, it all repeats again, but rather than for yourself, it's for your child. Like, all that stress, it's like, oh, I hope my, now it's ridiculous. Like, I hope
my child can get into playgroup. So stressed. If they can't get into playgroup, then they'll have no friends and they'll just be home by themselves and, you know, then I'll have to, I don't know, homeschool them or I don't know. So all to say, like, all these stages of life where we build up all this incredible stress is always with things that we really have no control over, right? To a certain extent. Like we try to have control over so much. And this doesn't just apply to our regular life, but also even ministry, right? Ministry, same thing, where we have high degree of control. And in some ways, when we're most dissatisfied with God, you know, like, God, like, why won't the thing I'm praying for happen right now? When is it going to happen? Or, God, why aren't you speaking to me right now? Or even if it does happen, whatever you pray for, you'll say, God, why did what you fulfilled not happen the way I wanted it? Always so dissatisfied, and we always want it according to our way. But I think for some of us, hopefully for many of us, we've experienced that when we do surrender, it actually is very good. And I mean, the other reason we can surrender is not just because God told us to, and that's part of the obedience, but it's good for us because it's coming from the Father. And he's not just seeing it as some, you know, super sovereign, all-powerful God. He is coming from that aspect, but he's coming as a father and wants that of his children, right? And in Matthew 7, verse 11, it says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" And I just think of myself and my daughter. And even right now, I mean, she's pretty much an angel. Like, she sleeps well, doesn't cry, which is actually a little weird because people are like, oh, does she ever cry? And I'm like, oh, of course. And I'm like, oh, no, she doesn't ever cry. She, like, gets upset when she wants something, but she actually never cries. But the one thing that is really hard right now is she does not like to eat, which is weird because Janie and I love to eat, but she does not like to eat. I mean, and she's really smart about not eating. Like right now, she's okay with milk, but I'm talking about solids, right? As soon as everything else, pacifier opens her mouth. Like, you know, you stick anything at her mouth, opens her mouth. You stick a spoon with food and it closes. And she's gotten really smart because, like, even, like, my strategy was I'll make her laugh. So when she, as soon as she laughs, boom, right in. Like, and then mission accomplished. And now she laughs with her mouth closed. I'm serious. I'll be like, ah! I'm like, ridiculous. And then she goes, and I'm like, and now if she really gets angry and you know it's like, it's over, is she like, goes this, and like, she just blocks it, 100% block. And I give this example because I just wish she would, like, I guess in some way surrender and just let me feed her. It's so frustrating. I'm like, don't you know, like, we're buying organic everything, organic fish, organic everything, and it's like the best food, and we make it for her, and she just refuses, right? But obviously, what I'm trying to do for her is actually really good. So all to say, why should we surrender? It's because it's good. It's actually very good for you, because God knows what he's doing. The second thing I want to talk about when it comes to surrender is, if you were to define surrender, it's to relinquish, I guess, something of value or control. So the key here is it's to relinquish something. So the reason I say that is because I have many conversations with different people, because I'm house church leader, so especially with my sheep, you know, going through different stages of their life, and then say they don't know what to do with their life. And then I asked them, well, what do you want to do? And they said, I want to do God's will. I think we've all gone through this, right? I want to do God's will. I go, okay, that sounds good. But what do you want to do? It's like, I don't care. I want to do God's will. I'm like, okay, okay, but, you know, and I have to go, but God, you know, gave you, you know, interests and stuff like that. So what do you want to do? I don't know. God's will. So my point is, if we're to really surrender and relinquish something, then we need to know what we're giving up, right, before we surrender. You can't have nothing to surrender and then surrender. Well, you could, but no one would, you know, value that, right? And we see this, the ultimate example would be Mark 14, verse 36. And this is Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane. Anyway, and he says, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. And Jesus, of course, surrenders his will. And the cost, the sacrifice, is his life, right? So, you know, it always starts with surrender and then followed by the sacrifice. Or I read somewhere like the root is surrender. But the fruit of surrendering is the sacrifice, right? So the second thing is if we are to surrender, we have to know what it is that we are surrendering. And I know that can be tough sometimes, especially because sometimes we really don't know what we want to do. For example, even serving in ministry, or like serving at SP. There's so many ministries. Sorry, it's kind of hot. There's so many ministries and really don't know what we're interested in. Maybe you're a new Christian. At which point I would say, of course, we always pray, and maybe sometimes God just says, go into this ministry, right? But if not, just try, right? And I think the reason the desire is important too is because sometimes we really don't surrender, and then we ask God, what do you want me to do? And then God tells us, and then we start doing that thing, and we're all bitter, and it's all works. So next thing for us is, or that point is, we need to know what we're relinquishing when we surrender. And the third thing is another way to look at surrendering is we are giving God an opportunity. It is when we surrender and say, God, I don't know what to do. God, I'm going to give you this opportunity to do something, where finally we are really in relationship with God and where God can finally do something. And I know for many of us, where really, if we're to humble ourselves, we don't really give God an opportunity to work. What I mean is, we wake up in the morning, maybe you come to EMP. Actually, EMP is actually already pretty good. But you just wake up in the morning and you say, God, bless my day. And then you go through the whole day, you work. And if there's something really bad that happens, then you say, God, help me. And then at the end of the day, you say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your provision. Which is pretty good, right? But really, like, how much opportunity are you giving to God? And to how do we give that opportunity? I think it's a heart shift, but it's also through your actions. And as a heart shift goes, Even recently, I have a house church member. He's doing experiencing God. And he's still going about his life the same way. But his desire is to really have God just working in his life and to be a good Christian leader as well, as a good representative. And he was saying, oh, just like he was having a difficult situation where he had to, kind of correct some of his staff. And he was about to like lay into the staff, and he got this like Holy Spirit tingling in the back of his head. I called it like spidey senses. So his spidey senses were tingling. And where normally he would just lay, and he kind of was like, oh yeah, like, God, you want me to be, you know, I want to be, not just God wants me to be, but God wants me to be, and I want to be also a good leader. So he, rather than just laid in and just, you know, said it as it is, he was much more, he still was, it was much more constructive, but also much more edifying. And he said it was very different because at the end, usually at the end, there's like, everyone's like kind of, like, you know, no one wants to be laid into. But at the end of it, he said they were like laughing, like both of them. So it was like, the person learned and laughing. And so sometimes like what you do day to day might be the exact same, but with a heart change, because especially corporate, right? Then with a heart change, yeah, God can sometimes just come in, right? And even this is, I guess, for house church leaders, especially new house church leaders, even old house church leaders. I can share my experience, which is, I would say, for a while, I think when you first start leading house church, what you're trying to do is have a really dynamic house church, really great discussion, right? And the greatest fear, or what you're hoping not for, is awkward silence. You're like, oh no, this is so awkward, people aren't having a good time. And to a certain extent, what you're trying to accomplish at the beginning is to get through it. Like, how long is house church? 2 hours, or maybe hour of discussion. I hope that whole hour, everyone's talking, everyone's contributing, and it's really dynamic, and you know, people are into it. And if that happens, mission accomplished. So for a while, that's how I think myself and Janie, we operated. And first of all, that's really stressful. But second of all, I think it's the wrong heart and attitude. And actually, after a while, our house church became really stagnant, where it was like 4 or 5 people, and it was the same people every week, sharing the same testimonies, giving the same advice every single week. And then, of course, we'd say, oh, but small's good. You know, we're tight. We're intimate. Which I'm not saying, if you're a small house church, I'm not saying that's bad, but I'm saying that was our excuse, right? Rather than address the fact that, you know, that things weren't good. We're just saying, oh, it's good to be tight and intimate. So we basically changed everything. Of course, we would still pray before and be like, God, you know, we give you this time and we offer it to you. Do what you will. Amen. Right? Still prayed, of course. But what we did different was this idea of giving God an opportunity. And what that meant is we basically, in some ways, discussion we have control over as house church leaders. We can choose the type of questions to ask, and we can choose how to respond, and we can muster up energy, right? The things we really don't have control of is things that involve God, right? So that's all we did differently. We basically started doing this prophetic prayer thing where every newcomer that comes, we actually prophesy over them. Even before any icebreaker. Actually, we have their name, And then we say, hey, can we pray for you? And they're like, whoa, what's going on? And for the most part, the newcomers love it. And it's kind of a scary thing because at that point, you have no more control. But you let God come. And I can tell you, for us anyway, doing the prophetic prayer as the intro has been the best icebreaker. Because God basically comes and he speaks to you about that person. And whereas normally it's, you know, an icebreaker and getting to know someone, you talk about their job, you ask them about their job, you know, why they came to Hong Kong, how long you've been here, how long you've been at SP, what brought you to SP. So those are pretty much the normal questions, right? But with the prophetic prayer, like God gives you revelation, but more than a revelation, he gives you a heart for that person. So we started just basically giving God a lot of opportunity to move. And that meant prophetic prayer, you know, where worship, you know, rather than just saying sometimes we just play and just lead people to prayer and, you know, just step out in faith even as leaders, like if we feel like God wants to share a word or, or just healing, prayer. Basically now the difference is I'm looking for opportunities for God to move. And the result with House Church is people visit and they stay. Whereas before, basically my control and my will to get people to stay would not work. But when I handed that control over to God, God was faithful and he, you know, just basically planted people in House Church. So let's worship and pray. And I kind of addressed two things. The first is if you're going through a season where you are trying to figure out what you're doing, just remember, if you're going to surrender, just know what you're trying to surrender as well. And the other way to look at it is when we surrender, what we're doing is giving God an opportunity to do something that's so much greater and not just something so much greater, but we get to do this in relationship with him. And we can really trust God. In Matthew 6:33, he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Thank you.
Every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way in me.
Let's just take a moment, and with whatever it is that we are holding on to, or with whatever it is that you just feel like is out of your hands, let's just surrender that over to God. And as we do that, let's also just, after you do that, just give a moment where God can also give him the opportunity where he can respond to you. And I think God will, he'll respond, and it could even just be you know, that peace that transcends all understanding, to let you know that even though he might not give you the answer that you're seeking right now, but he is in control. He has the answer, and everything is going according to his will, according as the plans. So let's just offer whatever it is upon on our hearts up. Yes, Lord, we just release to you whatever is just out of our control, God. And we release to you what is so hard for us to let go of. And God, as we release that to you, Lord, we just trust you, God, for you are faithful always, God. And you are good, good God. And we recognize that you are taking good care of us, that our life is in control, in your hands, God. So we just want to release that control to you joyfully, Lord, not out of just begrudgingly, but out of joy, God. We release that to you, and we release as well as that stress as well. We just thank you. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Let's also turn to our prayer. If you could turn to the screens. Let's lift up our community, those loved ones who are going through cancer, dealing with chemo, as well as for surgery recovery. Line. Let's pray for also those who are sick, loved ones who are sick, but as well as those who need to just for their salvation and come to know Christ. Slide.
Let's also pray for those who have infirmities. Let's pray for their full healing, but even for them, they themselves, to desire and want that wholeness that God also wants for them. Slide. Let's lift up those on the list for their jobs, that for God's supernatural provision, for God to lead them, and just to see just those opportunities that God has, that God would open doors as well as just close those that aren't fit. Let's go to our Thursday prayer focus. So first, let's go to pray for our missions. Let's pray for Cambodia, our missionary Grace, as well as the organization she works for, Bloom. Let's also pray for P. Sophia, who's stationed in Japan. Let's pray for her health, as well as her continued relationships with Japanese people. Let's lift up IP Well and Cascade. Let's pray for God's anointing and protection over them. Let's also pray for their individual just relationship with God, that they would, as they are just operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, let's pray that they would also just have the character and maturity as well. Let's lift up Alpha. Let's pray for the unity and protection of the core team and members, and just for God's timing and operations for the upcoming new season. Pray for the educational ministries. Let's pray for Noah's Ark, SP Youth, SPU. Let's pray for just the leaders to really have a heart of a shepherd to guide and to love, as well as just for every single student that they would just have opportunities to come and encounter God. Let's cover the outreaches that happen on Thursday, not this Thursday, but next Thursday. But we can just pray for the team that they would just be filled with God's love, and that they would feel so loved so that when they go out, that they can also extend that love.
finally, let's lift up the house churches today. Let's lift up Robin Hood, Elements, Austin West, and Olympic House Church. Let's pray that God would really come and move on each and every house church, that the leaders would be able to discern just what the Spirit's saying to them, and just pray for just good koinonia and just so much fun and love and fellowship during that time. Yes, God, we just thank you for this day again, Lord, and we just want to just offer everything about it to you, and that we could really just, as sons, as daughters, Lord, just walk in the freedom, Lord, that we have and security of your love, and that, you know, just all of the even responsibilities you've given us. This day, Lord, it is not a burden, but it is a joy to have these responsibilities, and that we would accomplish it with joy and excellence as well, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, and just as you had done as with my house church member, Lord, would you also just at times give us that Holy Spirit sense, Lord, of when you want us to do something, Lord. And we just really enjoy those moments, Lord, where we can partner and be in relationship with you and be used by you, Lord. So we just pray that you would open our eyes to see and hear and do just when you are at work, Lord. And we just thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please continue to seek after God, and have a great day.